Here we go, live from the No Panic Zone from deep inside the farm where everything is hermetically sealed. I'm Steve Gruber. God bless America. It is the Steve Gruber Show for Wednesday, August 5th, 2020. Here are three big things you need to know. Number three, Matt Stafford, the Lions quarterback, tested positive for COVID-19, but guess what? It's not real. A false positive. He's now back on the roster. Number two, another modest day for COVID-19. Two deaths reported, but Governor Whitmer doesn't care. She is ordering the Michigan State Police to fulfill her executive orders and enforce those orders, threatening companies with all sorts of penalties and individuals as well. And number one, primary day. What happened in the big races you were keeping an eye on? Well, we're going to have Kyle Malin here from MERS News to sort it out with us. Kyle, welcome to it.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Good to have you here. We've got results from some races, but one of the big ones, I don't know when we're going to know. That being Rashida Tlaib's race with Brenda Jones down there. Awfully slow in getting responses down that way. What can you tell me?
Well, we just got a big report from Wayne County Clerk's Office, and that race is done now. Rashida Tlaib has defeated Brenda Jones, basically beat her 2-1. There are still some precincts outstanding there, but the lead is just too great. Tlaib has doubled up Brenda Jones, the person that she narrowly beat for the full term 2 years ago.
Beat her 2-1.
Yeah, basically 2-1. That's basically what it looks like.
I'm surprised by that a bit. Are you surprised by that, or do you think that's what kind of what you expected?
No, I expected Tlaib to win, but I was thinking more in like the 10 to 15% range. Tlaib's going to be in the 60% with this one. Brenda Jones just didn't campaign like she should have. Tlaib was campaigning for re-election the second she took the oath of office, and Brenda Jones didn't. I mean, she was slow getting money. She was then sidelined because she got COVID-19, so that kept her away for two critical weeks.
Well, that's true. Tlaib, though, did have, $2.9 million, I think, is what I read, and Jones about $150,000. I mean, so financially it wasn't a race either.
No, it wasn't a fair fight. Yeah, based on the financing numbers that I got, she had $2.8 million, Tlaib did, and Brenda Jones only raised $100,000. I mean, you're not gonna win when you're going up against something like that.
Right. Another big race, the Republican primary in Michigan's 3rd Congressional District. A lot of eyes there because it's Justin Amash's seat. What do you have?
Well, Peter Meyer was the winner in that particular Republican primary. He's the grandson of Fred Meyer, who started the Meyer Grocery Stores. But he's a military veteran and really stood out, first of all, because he was able to spend a lot more money than Lynn Afendulis, his opponent. But he was also impressive in that during the height of the COVID-19 crisis, he established kind of this network of bringing food to the people who were basically homebound because of COVID-19. He delivered thousands and thousands of meals, put his campaign on hold, and did this charity work, which earned him a vast amount of goodwill.
Sure. Lynn Afendulis comes in saying, Tom Norton actually had a reasonable showing for a guy who was the manager in Sand Lake at, 17-18%. So maybe he's got something in his future. I'm sure she does. Let's look to Michigan's 8th Congressional District. Obviously an important Republican primary there to face Alyssa Slotkin in November. What did that end up?
Well, Paul Young ended up winning that primary. Steve, he is going to face Alyssa Slotkin. It was close to an extent. Mike Detmer, kind of the Patrick Colbeck follower, won Livingston County, but Paul Young had too much money, too much resources, and was basically able to wipe out any kind of opposition that was up against them, Christina Like being another opponent in that race. But Paul Young will face Slotkin in the 8th.
Yeah, Like and Detmer both got a considerable number of votes, but Young comes out top. So let me let's talk about this for a minute. Let me back up to the 3rd Congressional District.
Sure.
Most likely Meyer will take that seat that is currently held by Amash. That would be your guess, right?
Yeah, but I think I think Democrats could try and make a play at that seat. I think they're going to definitely do some polling to see how Hillary Scolton, the Democrat in that race, does head-to-head. I think that she probably would have done better against maybe another candidate in that race, maybe Tom Norton. But she got Peter Meyer. So we'll see if the Democrats spend some money. But I would guess that she is the favorite, or he is the favorite, Peter Meyer is.
Right, and I would guess that Alyssa Slotkin, a clear favorite in the 8th, even though it's a Republican-leaning district, she has a tremendous amount of money. Her signs, I've already seen them blossoming around the district because I live there. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's just unbelievable the type of money that Alyssa Slotkin has raised. She raises U.S. Senate-like numbers. She's at $5 million, almost twice what we were just talking about with Rashida Tlaib. Paul Young had a little bit of personal finance, and he could have put into this race. He's in for about $500,000, and that's great. That got him to win the primary, but he's going to need a lot more than that to beat Alyssa Slotkin.
And will he get help? Will he get help from the national level or not?
Again, I think that's going to depend on what polling shows. You know, if Trump can turn around his favorable numbers, you will see the Republican campaign committee do some polling, and if they see Young within striking distance, they will put money in it.
I guess we'll keep an eye on it for Paul Young. All right, and to face... Fred Upton said he's trying to thread the needle in the 6th Congressional District, trying to get his 18th term. He ran. He's fine. But it's the Democrats that are going to oppose him, of course, in the 6th Congressional District. He's a moderate. He's a middle-of-the-road kind of a guy. What do you think of that race?
Well, John Hoadley, who ended up winning that Democratic primary, didn't win it by a heck of a lot. He spent most of this primary election day sweating it against this pretty unknown character named Jenna Richardson, who's a teacher in the Kalamazoo area. She put up a pretty first-class campaign for being somebody new to this whole political thing. She had some help from somebody. She had some pretty professional-looking videos and really had an amazing performance. She ended up beating John Hoadley in several counties in that 6th Congressional District. And Hoadley only won because he had a massive showing in his home county of Kalamazoo, which is really the population base of that district. So he was able to sneak it out, but it was close.
All right. So we got about a minute and a half left here. Kyle Malin here with MERS News. What other notable takeaways did you have from yesterday? Did the mail-in balloting work right? Is there anything else that you're looking at? Any other races you're concerned about?
Yeah, the mail-in balloting worked fine, I suppose. I mean, some municipalities were quicker with it than others. Wayne County struggled. We just got the results here, like I said, a few minutes ago. And they're going to need some help, or they're going to need some legislation to open some ballots quicker, because come November, they're going to get a lot more ballots than they got today. And Michigan doesn't want to be the last ones to have to report. They're going to look pretty silly. So there's going to have to be some kind of change that's made to help speed out the county of ballots there in Wayne County. Mm. One other thing, Lisa McClain will be probably the next member of Congress from the 10th Congressional District, succeeding Paul Mitchell. Lisa McClain beating Shane Hernandez last night with a strong performance in Macomb County.
There you go, Lisa McClain. I guess I missed one along the way, Kyle. Thank you for keeping me on task. I appreciate it. Kyle Malin from MERS News, keeping everybody on task every day. Thank you, Kyle, for being here as always.
Absolutely, anytime.
There you have the big races. Now when we come back, a breath of fresh air. Ron Rademacher will be here. This part of the program brought to you by DTE Energy, providing safe, reliable natural gas to customers all across Michigan. DTE Energy, know your own power.
Helping those who need it most, while building a better future. That's what Michiganders do. And it's what DTE is doing today. Giving 2 million masks to frontline workers and 600,000 to small businesses. Providing tablets and internet access so 51,000 school children can learn at home. And helping over 500,000 families across the state with food and shelter. Because for Michigan, we're always all in. DTE. DTE is taking big steps today that will power Michigan's economy for years to come. As one of the largest investors in the state, we'll spend $2 billion with Michigan companies this year alone, building critical infrastructure to provide cleaner, safer, and more reliable energy, while creating thousands of new jobs across the state, improving the lives of Michiganders today while continuing to build a stronger tomorrow. DTE.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Rich Studley with the Michigan Chamber. We represent about 5,000 employers who employ over a million Michigan residents. At times like this, employees and employers have questions. We're your trusted source of information. Please visit the Michigan Chamber's website at michamber.com for the timely and accurate information you need to stay in business and to keep Michigan moving forward.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.
Every week at Ellie's Place, peer support groups help hundreds of children and teens learn to cope and begin to heal after the death of a parent, sibling, or someone close to them.
It just made me feel like I wasn't the only one going through this.
1 in 12 children in Michigan will experience the death of a parent or sibling before the age of 18. At Ellie's Place, children interact with peers who've suffered a similar loss and express their emotions in a secure and empowering environment. Learn more at elliesplace.org.